Good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm calling the regular meeting of Council on October 24th, 2019 to order at 7:03 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hullum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz. Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
And Vice President John Plushnick.
Present.
Before we start our meeting, I'm going to have Anthony come forward, please. We'll wait in case she shows up. Thank you so much.
Sure. Take a moment for a prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks tonight for our city, for those who have dedicated their lives to serve, for those who live in our city that make it a special place to reside, to raise our children. We claim your presence here and ask that your spirit be with us, a spirit of cooperation and respect, a spirit of patience, and a spirit of hard work. May your spirit guide all that happens here tonight. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Camino. John would like to introduce some guests we have this evening.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. I would like to introduce Sarvat Habib and her colleague, Gotham Singh. Ms. Habib is the Deputy Director of the Criminal Investigation Division of the Board of Revenue for Pakistan, and Mr. Singh is a policy consultant for the City of New Delhi in India. Both of them are here in the United States as part of a U.S. State Department-sponsored delegation, visiting and hosting with the Cleveland Council on World Affairs so that they can be placed with elected officials and learn more about our system of government in the United States along the lines of the work they do in their home countries. Their hope is to get new ideas and to bring back reforms. And I'm really excited that in particular Deputy Director Habib will be my research assistant and professional fellow at Cleveland Marshall College of Law for the next month. We want to have a very rewarding experience for all of our fellows, and I can tell you that Director Habib will be visiting the Regional Income Tax Agency in addition to seeing our council meeting so she can get a real sense of how income taxes and taxes generally are collected in the United States. So we're grateful that you're here, and we hope you have a rewarding experience in this country.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Madam President, motion to excuse Councilwoman Laura Lenz from tonight's meeting.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilwoman Micah to excuse Councilwoman Laura Lenz from this evening's meeting. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Councilwoman Lenz has been excused from this evening's meeting. Hopefully she's fine and maybe we'll show up here shortly. Moving forward, our first order of business is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting of October 10th, 2019.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig?
I'll move to approve the minutes as submitted for October 10th, 2019.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to approve the regular council meeting minutes of October 10th, 2019. Is there any discussion on that motion? Vicki?
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Plushnick?
Yes.
The regular council meeting minutes of October 10, 2019 have been approved. The next is our finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek.
Just a couple of items tonight. First of all, the September reports are posted to the website, and also the treasurer's office has notified me that Ohio Open Checkbook is also updated for September. Income tax collections continue to remain strong. I just received the report for September collections, and we're continuing to run 10% ahead of last year at the same point in time. So that's a very good sign. And finally, ordinance number 2019-69, making temporary appropriations for next year, is on tonight's agenda. It does not have to be passed tonight. It can go through three readings. The ordinance makes temporary appropriations to enable the city to operate for the first three months of 2020.
Thank you, Frank. Are there any questions for the finance director this evening?
Madam President,
just one. Mr. Berkcheck, since we have instituted Ohio Check, do we get any kind of reports that tell us how much it's being used by anyone, or do we not know?
They don't specific issue a report. I can look online, and it will give statistics for the last 7 days, the last 30 days, and the last 90 days.
Okay. I was just curious if people are finding it helpful and if it's being used.
It does not, to be honest, it does not have a lot of visits, and the visits tend to be a very short duration.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions this evening? Thank you, Frank. Next is the city engineer's report. Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. We're continuing to monitor the work on Dodd Road. They've completed the milling and the base repairs. However, the portion that they're shifting away from the river, we found some issues with. So the contractor is preparing a fix to those issues. The area wasn't as wide as we specified and wasn't at the correct elevation. So once they have that completed, the final step is just the final overlay. So we're getting there. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Peter. Are there any questions for the engineer this evening?
Madam President,
Councilman Pismo?
Are we still looking to have a finish date around November 20th, or do you think that this is going to extend the project beyond that?
It's still doable, and the contractor hasn't notified us of any extension. So.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Madam President? Mr. DeFranco, I know I've seen some work on the Pleasant Valley Road Bridge, and I signed off on the maintenance. How is that going, and do we know how long it'll take to complete the repainting of the bottom of the bridge?
No, I don't know what the schedule is, and I haven't gotten any updates.
Well, if you could, send an email to council just to let us know. Thank you.
Just to make note that Councilwoman Lenz has joined us at 7:10 p.m. Thank you, Pete. Thank you. The next is council committee reports. Are there any reports or information that anyone from their respective chairs for their committees would like to share this evening?
Madam President?
Yes.
In our Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the mayor did report that the Aldi's facility is underway, and they did report to him that they should be open prior to Thanksgiving. So you can buy your turkeys this year from Aldi's on Bishop Road.
Thank you. Any other council representative reports? Moving right along, the next part of our meeting is public portion. This is an opportunity for the public to come forward. We ask that you state your name and address for the record and try to keep comments to 3 minutes. And I will open public portion at 7:11 p.m. Mr. Nicteen.
Good evening, everyone. Dave Nicteen, 35771 Maple Grove Road, Willoughby Hills, Ohio. Council members, fellows, Phoebe, Piesmont, Lentz, and Micah, is it true that as a result of your actions on council, the city lost approximately over $800,000 due to payments to lawyers, reimbursement to employees, illegally laid off, and loss of net income from the mayor's court? Willoughby Hills needs new leadership, I urge the citizens to come out and vote at the upcoming election. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nicotine. I know, the tallest one. Well, but he needs it. Sue?
Susan Rosium, 32701 Miller Avenue. I'm here to talk about the library levy. I know that we all appreciate the fact that we have a library here in Willoughby Hills. Issue 3 is a renewal of a 1 mil 10-year operating levy to support the Willoughby Eastlake Public Library. It is not a tax increase. It's a renewal. The Willoughby Eastlake Public Library serves 7 communities of Eastlake, Willoughby, Willoughby Hills, Willowick, Timberlake, Lakeline, and Waite Hill through the 4 libraries located in Willowick, Eastlake, Willoughby, and right here in Willoughby Hills. Some numbers that demonstrate the health of our library system. In 2018, we circulated over 1.5 million books. Yes, we still have books. E-books, DVDs, computer games, Wi-Fi devices, and tablets. We held over 1,700 programs that educated, enlightened, and entertained over 70,000 patrons of all ages. 1,350 of those programs were for children and families. We provide 84 public computers at our 4 libraries that provide free computer access to almost 75,000 users on a yearly basis. In addition, we provided scores of technology training sessions that assisted patrons, many of whom were senior citizens, in learning and improving their computer skills. We completed the renovation of the Willoughby Hills Library in 2018 after finishing the renovations of the Willoughby and Willowick libraries in 2017. We're planning to start the renovation of the Eastlake Library in 2020. In order to better serve our communities, we've increased our service hours by adding 2 more months of Sunday services at all 4 libraries. And this is on top of, yay, opening the Willoughby Hills Libraries on Fridays, a change we made in 2016. Our board, working closely with the library's fiscal officer and staff, have carefully managed the library's funding with a focus on a long-term fiscal sustainability. Using that approach, the library has been able to weather 10 years of uncertain state funding and flat local funding. Issue 3 is the second of 2 1-mil operating levies that expire at the end of 2019. The first one was approved by voters last year. Issue 3 is the renewal of the library's second 1-mil levy and will not raise property taxes if it is approved in November. Based on the best forecasting that the library can do, the passage of Issue 3 in November, in combination with the other major operating levy that was approved last year, will sustain the library's financial position for the next 7 to 10 years. When Issue 3 passes in November, the library will be able to continue its investments in knowledgeable and responsive staff, enhanced programming to serve children and families, teens, job seekers, and adults, including senior citizens, continuing to improve the 4 libraries' comfort, convenience, and safety, and expanding the library's state-of-the-art in-house and circulating technology. Please remember to vote for Issue 3 on November 5th. It will not raise your taxes, and it will improve our library. Thank you.
And your guest, Sue?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Eric Linderman.
My name is Eric Linderman. I work for the library. I live in Wickliffe. Actually, my address is 29126 Fuller Avenue in Wickliffe. And, please vote for Issue 3. We're really excited to be here and be able to serve the community in this way. And if anybody wants a postcard, I've got those too.
Absolutely, and there might be some of our residents in the audience that would like to have the card as well. So thank you so much for your information. We appreciate it. Chris?
Chris Welsh, 38801 Chardon Road. The 800,000 number that everybody's jacked up on, part of that was wages that would have been paid anyways, and correct me if I'm wrong, the mayor shut down mayor's court, so that can't count. And there's a quote from Albert Einstein: stay away from negative people, they have a problem from every solution. And I urge people to come out and vote and keep things right the way they are. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Vicki, you coming up?
Other people that look like they were going to get up. So, okay, my question is basically for Mr. Berkachek. Look at the numbers, and you've been recording how we've seen an increase in our income tax coming into the city. I had a couple people have come to me and asked me about Laurel Pismo saying that she's going to reduce our taxes, and I was just wondering how a tax cut such as that would hurt the city and how would revenue be made up. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. Mr. McKenna, were you coming up? No? Okay. Jenna?
Hi, Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. I'm not sure whether it's Mr. Berkachek or Mr. DeFranco that can tell me, but can you tell me about how much it costs to pave a street in Willoughby Hills, to repave a street? Gosh, I've heard that it's like $50,000 a street, basically 15 streets for $800,000, and I don't believe it. So I thought maybe you guys could set the record straight on what's an average cost to repave an average street in Willoughby Hills. Thanks.
Thanks, Jenna. Anyone else this evening? Anthony?
Anthony Camino, 2972 Lynn Drive. I think the superintendent is also going to speak, but I just wanted to ask a question about the levy. I think we all understand the connection between healthy communities and healthy schools. And I was wondering if this body had ever talked about coming out publicly in favor or against, but hopefully in favor of the levy, or if any of the individual members of council have thought about coming out publicly in support, or again, if you're the other way, against the levy. That was all. Thanks.
Thank you. Steve?
Thank you. Wasn't quite sure how this works, so
it's okay. It's all fine.
And Steve Thompson, I'm the superintendent of Willoughby Eastlake City Schools, and Bill Parkinson is our treasurer in the school. And I will say, I hope you're right about your road. I heard things, even confidence-boosting things, that our schools would open, and then they were 2 weeks late. But we are grateful to the community here in Willoughby Hills for support of our 2015 bond issue, which built three new schools in the district, to include South High School. So thank you very much. We are on the ballot, and we just wanted to inform the council. Obviously, we know you're already aware, but we are seeking to replace approximately $8.3 million that we lost in tangible personal property tax. I know that also impacted to some degree the city of Willoughby Hills as well. So this levy is 4.99 mils, and it is simply to keep us status quo on where we are financially, not increase services to our students, but certainly not decrease them. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Anyone else this evening for a public portion? Linda?
This is a tall drink of water. Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham. Two things. I wanted to know if there's any status on about the signs that I asked about at the last meeting. And the other is that I don't know how true this is. I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's actually actual. But I would like to know, I've heard that the fire department is trying to hire additional part-time people, and that the mayor will not approve that because he says he doesn't have any money. And I thought that was in the budget that you passed. So I'd like to know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Hello, Council. My name is Brian Jones. My address is 38405 Berkshire Hills Drive in Willoughby Hills. I just wanted to follow up Superintendent Steve Thompson and let everybody here know, as well as Council, that there will be an informational meeting at 8 p.m. over in the Community Center to discuss a little bit more about the district's finances and to answer any questions that the community may have regarding the upcoming ballot issue for the renewal, or I mean not renewal, new levy. So thank you.
Thanks, Brian. All right. I will close public portion at 7:22 p.m. Unfinished business.
Madam President?
Vice President Fletcher?
Two things. First, I'd like to thank School Board Member Brian Jones and Library Trustee Sue Rosium as residents for their services to both our public schools and our public libraries. As the former trustee for Willoughby Hills to the library, I'm very excited to see the great work that Sue has done along with Deputy Director Eric Lindemann. I work with him personally as well. They're incredible public servants, and we're grateful for them to continue working so hard this year without putting a tax increase on the ballot, so we're very much in support of our public libraries. And second, I would like to say, with respect to Mr. Nicotine's comments, there has been a lot of misinformation put out. It's obviously political. As the chair of finance for the city of Willoughby Hills, I'd like to put to rest a lot of this nonsense by just going back to the numbers. Mr. Welsh began to answer the question, but I'd like to be a little more precise. The rough figure of $800,000 wasted, and I would personally agree that it was wasted, but it's a person's perspective as to whether it was well spent or not, is a result of the various lawsuits brought by the mayor of Willoughby Hills, the mayor's secretary, as well as various other employees and former employees from the administration. So those were the cost of those lawsuits. I personally oppose them. There may be people, in fact, I know there are people in this room who supported them, and they may have viewed that money as well spent. I personally did not. But whether it's a waste or not is subjective. The rest of the money, as Mr. Welsh said, was a result of lost revenue from closing mayor's court, which I might note is not called council's court. It's actually referred to as mayor's court because under the Ohio Revised Code, the only person with the authority to open or close that court is, in fact, the mayor. I personally disagreed with the decision to close mayor's court, and I publicly stated so at the time and since. But once again, I'm not the mayor of Willoughby Hills. I'm not running to be mayor. So never did I have the authority, nor did council have the authority to open or close mayor's court. But we did have a voice, and with that, I expressed I thought it was a poor idea to close it because I recognized it would cost the city a substantial amount of money. So once again, the $800,000, whether it was well spent or not, is the cost of the mayor's lawsuit, the mayor's secretary's lawsuit, the former law director's lawsuit, the city prosecutor, the former prosecutor's lawsuit, as well as the mayor choosing on his own, with his authority, which he had, to shut down the mayor's court. It's up to you as residents to decide whether you support the decisions of your officials, but you should know who was responsible for those decisions so that you understand who to hold accountable, whether you think they made a good decision or a bad one. But as chair of finance, I want to put that to rest. That is exactly where those numbers came from, and you may think they're good decisions or bad decisions, but only the mayor controls mayor's court, and ultimately the cost of the lawsuits are the responsibility of the people who brought them. So I think that that's important to put to rest for anyone who's confused. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President, I have an opposing view. My opinion of this is that the $800,000, the personnel that this council majority laid off by the budget of 2018 without any real prep, as I had asked them to do prior to, caused the vast majority of that $800,000. And those folks that they laid off had an absolute right to challenge council and the city as far as the legality of the layoffs. And as is obvious from the decision of CERB and the Attorney General of the State of Ohio, it was found to be illegal and unlawful, and that's why those folks were reimbursed their lost wages and benefits. And Mr. Welsh is right, that money would have been spent, but we would have actually gotten something for it, which is work done, which we did not have. And mayor, with regard to mayor's court, Mr. Pletchnik's right. It is mayor's court. However, if you don't have the personnel to run it, it's not possible to leave it open. As far as the other lawsuits, well, I suppose he's right. If those individuals who brought the lawsuits would have just let this council be illegal and unlawful, it would have saved the city some money. However, paying an attorney, the law director, four times what we were paying before, and some of the other illegal actions, naming Nancy Fellows mayor for a portion of the city's mayor's responsibilities, and things of that nature, they are against our charter, and that's what the courts found. And so I applaud the mayor and those individuals within our city who had the guts to stand up and say it's wrong and it's illegal and challenge it in court and let the courts decide, and they did. Thank you.
Madam President, I'd like to throw my comment on this also. Going way back to the beginning of all this, I think we can all agree that a lawsuit was not necessarily the best form of communication between a mayor and council. What I'd like to ask the mayor, unfortunately he's not here tonight, is why he didn't communicate with his council and bring the team together and work together, why he chose a vehicle of a lawsuit as a method of communication with his council. There's a domino effect that happens after you throw out the first lawsuit, and it kept going and going and going. And unfortunately, here we are, a year and a half, 2 years later, trying to still make sense of what happened. And I'm telling you that I appealed to the mayor many times to communicate with his council, to work together, to not be antagonistic, to not go this route with lawsuits. And for whatever reasons he chose, maybe he was counseled down that road, I don't know. He chose to sue his city and subsequently, along with Councilman Hallam, try to get rid of our city council, which was elected by Willoughby Hills voters and was found to be illegal. You cannot remove elected officials. And that ball keeps rolling, too. Another lawsuit recently tried to get rid of us once more and was found to be not conducted properly. So I'm looking way forward to next administration. Hopefully we're going to get a team together that works well together and respects each other and is not going to go after each other with lawsuits. I find it very ironic that Mr. Nicotine did not stick around to even listen to the results of his question. I find that a typical thing that goes on between people who complain and bring up negativity, that they like to throw it out, but they don't stick around for the answers. So once again, I just made this comment today that we all of us that are running for re-election or for office for the first time, we have our contact information. We have our phone numbers out there. We have our emails listed. If you have questions, discussions, call us, contact us. We're easy to talk to. We will call you back. But don't just accept something at face value without hearing the other side. There's always two sides to the story. Thank you.
Madam President?
Let's see if other than
I just want to follow up on one thing. She made a comment that was inaccurate, and I want to comment.
Madam President,
directed at me.
I would like for other members to have an opportunity to speak, should they like to do that before we start going through the council members again.
Fair enough.
Councilman Pismo.
Madam President, if we're discussing inaccuracies, I think that Councilman Hallam saying that he warned us about anything related to the 2018 budget can't be true because he didn't show up to any of the meetings where we discussed the budget in 2018. He missed three meetings in March of 2018 when we discussed the budget every single time. In addition, the 2018 budget cut the Mayor's Court staffing to the levels that it was in 2010 when the Mayor's Court brought in $1.25 million in revenue. In 2017, which is the year right before the 2018 budget, we brought in $770,000 from Mayor's Court. Why did we have 50% more administrative staff for a court that is bringing in almost $500,000 less? That is what the budget did. It just put that staffing back in line. Why would we spend more on administrative staff for a court that's bringing in $500,000 less? So, but anyway, I think that we have beat this horse well beyond the point that is necessary here. And I think that I would like to address Ms. Fulton's comment or her question about the part-time firefighters. And it's my understanding, and I think Mayor Wager discussed this two meetings ago, and he said that we have hired six part-time firefighters who are currently in training.
So based on that, Chief Gandy, if you would come forward, please, and just share, since you're the department head and you're living and breathing the staffing issues,
If you could just share some information about the staffing and what I believe is the critical nature of staffing and how we can resolve this moving forward. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Madam President, members of council, just to give you kind of an update that we are continuing to work to try to get additional firefighters. However, as we go through this, you know, our financial state as far as the staffing budget is a huge concern. Obviously, working with the mayor and Frank Berkachek, related to that, there's a number of things that are associated with that. One of those being the costs of hiring, or rather training, part-time firefighters. And in my short tenure here so far, that you know, we're finding it to be roughly around $5,000 a part-time firefighter, and that's probably a little bit on the lower end. And currently, we do have three part-time firefighters in training. We've got another four on deck ready to hire. However, our concern at this point is that we don't have the staffing funds to support that, to continue to get them in training, and we have another six on deck. So realistically, we're probably looking at another $50,000 just in training staffing funds, and that's not even counting personal protective gear, which we're looking at probably another $2,500, and uniforms. So unfortunately, the cost of providing, obviously, fire protection and EMS protection is very expensive. But looking forward into the next year and talking with Mr. Berkachek as far as trying to forecast some of these additional needs and so forth, so next year we'll be in better shape. We are running at somewhat of reduced staffing. You know, we're trying to make sure that we're not breaking the bank, although kind of the projected at this point is that indicates that we're going to be over budget in our staffing, which is, you know, aspects of obviously concerning to myself, but the other aspect is we're trying to maintain a level of service to the community as far as the number of calls. Currently, our current stat is that we're running around 49% of overlapping calls. So we're a very busy fire department. Yesterday I was late to the civil service meeting because I was driving a fire engine back from an EMS call that we had. So the only thing I can tell you is we're definitely trying to work in with the confines of our budget and the staffing, doing the best we can. We are running at some reduced staffing at times. We're trying not to go anything lower than four. There's been some times on weekends I've come in to help staffing because under the Ohio Administrative Code that we cannot commence a fire attack unless it's in a rescue situation, if we don't have a minimum of four people. So we're trying to do everything we can within our power to try to not let that happen, as we want to make sure that we're providing the best possible service we can based on the funding we have for the city.
Thank you, Chief. And so, Mr. Berkachek, has $75,000 from the police department been moved over to the fire department?
Yes, it was.
It was?
Yes, it was. It was from the police department's part-time budget into the fire department's overtime budget.
Okay. So I know that's not enough, but it helps.
Absolutely. And we're very appreciative from the fire department's perspective. And I can tell you professionally that I can't thank Chief Collins enough. He's been a phenomenal fellow department head to work with and has been a huge support of public safety, and we work hand in hand. I had just called him yesterday, writing two of his officers on a patient we sat in. Their residents were over an hour trying to convince him to go to the hospital, and they ultimately needed to go. And it's a team effort by everyone, obviously, within the city. But we're very, very thankful for Chief Collins for doing what he did to try to help us out in the situation of providing EMS and fire protection to the Willoughby Hills.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the Chief?
One other thing I just want to mention, too, is that we are still looking to proceed of hiring our two additional full-time firefighters. We just had our civil service meeting yesterday to certify the list. And I can tell you we've got a number of great candidates for that to continue providing the best support. Being a smaller department, we have a very heavy reliance on very qualified and competent people, as there's a very good chance they could be in charge of a fire or a very serious accident or any other number of things. So we take this very seriously. Unfortunately, we had to exhaust our last list, so we have this new list, and we've got some great candidates. We've done some great marketing to get some good people, so hopefully we'll be able to fill those spots. The only reason a little bit of a delay I anticipate is, again, our staffing situation and the money available, that our priority is providing emergency services to the community, and some of those, as far as interviews and so forth, and even processing, has to be put kind of in a second string, as we have to prioritize that, you know, what's our heart and soul of here providing a level of service when people call 911.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes.
Chief. So the reason that we're in the situation is because we did not hire enough part-time firefighters, and we weren't able to hire those two other full-time firefighters because we didn't have an updated test, basically, until very recently, correct? And correct. So we've blown through the money that should have been used to hire new people on overtime. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So if we had hired more part-time firefighters last year, earlier this year, we would be in a much better position.
That is correct. You know, unfortunately, obviously, part of my aspect of coming in and assessing at the different aspects of hiring and learning the processes and so forth, and also in light of taking on an added responsibility of working on the hiring process, that's all been involved. In addition, that, you know, we've made a lot of cuts to try to get us through the end of the year. But unfortunately, this is a situation, since the department has not had additional part-time hires in some time, that we have a rather large slug of people that we need to hire and we need to bring up to speed. We're looking at roughly around 3 months to get people trained to be acclimated with our equipment, the response area, and everything else associated with it. So unfortunately, that in looking forward into 2020, that, you know, we're going to need to facilitate having some additional funding to bring these other part-time firefighters on and up to speed. And again, the delay of having us have to give another test September 21st, and avoiding summer, which we may have not gotten as many qualified candidates for it because of vacations and so forth. It's taken a lot of additional time to get to this point, so now we've got some very good candidates, and then hopefully we'll move forward. So I really think 2020 is going to be a much better year, because we're going to be able to forecast a lot of these things and so forth and anticipate, and I've got a better idea, just being with the department, of some of the anticipated expenditures, so we can have a better handle on our budget.
Madam President, one more question. So if we were able to fully staff with our part-timers, so if we were up to where you want to be, and if we were to hire in those new full-time firefighters to the three new positions that were created, would we still need additional funds over what was budgeted this year, or was it just that overtime that caused us to be in, to have this problem because the administration was not able to hire quickly enough?
Yeah, and that's definitely a result of you know, unfortunately, our candidate pool has been so small, and this is not unique to the Willoughby Hills community, but generally is trying to find qualified candidates that are going to be able to meet the needs and the demands of our department particularly. So unfortunately, yeah, that delay has definitely created some issues with us of not being able to, of having to pay more overtime in addition to not having the part-timers. So we've definitely paid an abundance as far as trying to compensate for scheduled leave, call-offs, and things of those nature. Along those lines.
I lied. I have one more question. Sorry. So last year, I know that it was taking months to vet one part-time firefighter candidate. Has that situation improved in your opinion? Is it fast enough? Do you feel like, I mean, maybe we can talk about this more in another time, but I just maybe a quick answer about where you think that is.
We're now assuming more responsibility as far as trying to get to that. I did talk to the mayor about looking at maybe outsourcing some of the calling to references and so forth. And unfortunately, a lot of the staffing situations and me having to kind of pinch it for some of the calls has taken some of the time away from doing that. But like I said, we're kind of on hold a little bit at a holding pattern and until the 2020 staffing funding kicks in, and then we can try to get those people in the realm. But again, we need a forecast with anticipation that we're going to need some additional funds just to bring these people on and bring them up to speed. And then from there on out, hopefully we'll be able to sustain that and continue a attrition plan as far as replacing part-timers as they get hired in other departments and leave and so forth. But part of the two things is, one, we want to, my two biggest goals is provide having a safe fire department, providing the best customer service, and two is I want people to be happy. I want people to be excited about coming into work. And so we want to make it an environment so people are excited about coming into the fire station. We see a lot of bad things and bad calls, but hopefully we'll be able to retain some of those people because they want to come into work for us.
Sure.
Madam President, if I could just follow off of Chief Gandy in saying this really is an issue that was caused by the inability to fully staff the fire department. I think he's being very modest and humble in the efforts that he's put forward. The reason why we've seen a little bit of an acceleration in hiring of part-timers in the last couple months is because Chief Gandy and his firefighters have actually volunteered to do a lot of the vetting themselves in between their calls, which is above and beyond their responsibilities. They're not paid to do it. I know this as Chair of Finance, having met with him and worked on the budget with the chief. So they've really been burning the midnight oil to do this work. It's technically not their job. The Civil Service Commission should be processing these applications and these candidates faster. And that's something that we need to work on. And Council President Fellows has suggested outsourcing in the past. The mayor was reticent to do it because he didn't want to spend the money. But unfortunately, we're finding that our employees are doing it one way or the other. And the hourly rate of a firefighter is actually a lot higher than the hourly rate of an external vetting company. So at the end of the day, I think we are robbing Peter to pay Paul there. I think we need to have a faster, more efficient process. But I think part of the reason that we were caught off guard is the Civil Service Commission hasn't been used to hiring firefighters. When we created the new three full-time positions, they were the first new full-time positions in the fire department in 28 years. So I understand that no Civil Service Commission member has ever had the problem of hiring on new positions. And frankly, the reason we're seeing such an interest, I think, in our part-time staffing is because our chief immediately came in and worked with the Personnel Relations Committee to reset the pay scales to be more appropriate and competitive with other cities, to give a bonus for people who have EMS certifications, to make sure we're getting the most valuable people in the fire department. And so I think it's really a reflection of the chief and the fire department's work that we have this great interest, and I think the Civil Service Commission simply wasn't prepared to vet it. I think we need to do a better job of helping them, whether it's putting some new people on the commission who have more experience in vetting or getting an external vetter to assist them, because when the chief comes with a great candidate that many other cities are interested in, we want to hire them as quickly as possible. And as the mayor even agreed with me 2 years ago as we started to work on the budget then, and as the chief has expressed to us tonight, we're not saving money by not hiring these people. The cost of paying overtime to a full-time firefighter who's tired and doesn't even want it, by the way, they're doing it as a service to the city. They would much rather someone else fresh and ready to go took it on, is much higher than hiring a new full-time firefighter, and even higher than that, than hiring on a part-timer, which is a real blessing and bargain for the city when we have someone who's highly qualified and wants to serve us. So I would be remiss if I didn't thank the chief and the fire department for their hard work. You've apologized, but unnecessarily so. You're doing the best with what you have, and we thank you.
I would be amiss if I didn't recognize the efforts of the men and women of my department. Recently in our payroll, a number of our members that ended up having to work either due to some other type of event that required essentially some overtime to be paid out, but ended up taking compensatory time in place of, and that was probably around 60 hours this last pay period. And I think it speaks volume of the members of the department that when we talked about our staffing situation and the diminishing funds, is that everyone's on deck. This is everybody's got skin in the game. We all have to make sacrifices because, as I explained to them, I certainly don't want to see us running at 3 come December when the roads are getting bad and we're getting multiple accidents on the interstates and so forth. So, and from the fire department's perspective, we always appreciate all your support. And Frank Berkachek and Mayor Wegger, as we try to transverse through our budget and keep things afloat.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you so much. Pete, average cost to pave a road?
$100 a lineal foot. It varies based on the width and the length of the road and what type of road it is, if it's asphalt or concrete. In Willoughby Hills, they're mostly two-lane roads of asphalt. So a good round number is about $100 a lineal foot. To put it into perspective, the average property is about 100 feet wide. So if you have 10 properties, that's 1,000 feet. So 1,000 times 100 is $100,000. Dodd Road, as another example, is roughly a mile long. So that's a little over $500,000. And in response to Mrs. Fulton, I believe she's talking about the signs at the border of...
The snow.
Yeah, the snow? No.
Snow emergency.
Oh, okay.
The snow and the county line.
Okay. Regarding the county line on White Road between Lake and Cuyahoga County, those are county signs. They're not regulatory signs, such as speed limit and things like that. So those are put up by the county at their expense. They're similar to the Metro Parks puts up signs telling you where their parks are, or a Lake Tran also puts up signs telling you where their routes and their bus stops are. Those are put up at their expense. They're not at city expense. So if one is missing at the border, that would be up to the county to replace it.
Thank you, Pete.
No. The snow signs, I didn't follow up on that one.
Madam President.
Yeah, I think the mayor had a statement about that, but I don't recall at this time. I probably have to go back and look at the minutes. Councilman Hallam.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond. Councilwoman Micah brought up working with council, and the mechanism for that is called a veto, which Mayor Wager did in every instance of those illegal ordinances, stating his position, and that really was the time for this council to take it seriously and discuss that with him, but they chose to instead just to blanketly override his veto and move forward. There was also a comment she made about me trying to fire this council. I had nothing to do with that. That was strictly the mayor's office. I was left behind to have to comment about it, but I did not have any hand in firing this council. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Camino, so I'll comment about your question about the school. So while there's seven members on council, we are a body of one. So I... would find it probably challenging for seven individuals as a body of one to make that statement, so that more than likely, should you have an interest in what an individual council member may think about that, that they should have that discussion with you, in all fairness. Anything else on unfinished business? All right, let's move on to legislation. The first one is Ordinance 2019-67. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance amending Part 1, Administration, Chapter 157, General Employment Provisions, Section 157.16, Military Service, of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills, and repealing conflicting legislation and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
I would motion to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance Number 2019-67.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2019-67. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Madam President, our Chief of Police has been working with the Council Clerk on this ordinance for some time. We've known it was on the agenda, and it really relates to treating police department members, police officers who are also military reservists in an equitable fashion. If they're called up for a long tour of duty, the city would would agree to pay the difference between the salary that they're receiving for their service to the federal government and the salary they would ordinarily receive as an officer, which makes it financially feasible for them to handle both responsibilities, both of which involve protecting and serving all of us. And it's actually very common that police officers are also military reservists. There are actually several candidates right now, our chief has informed me, that we're very interested in, good lateral candidates from other cities, that have expressed that the only way they would be willing to consider Willoughby Hills as a destination to serve is if this ordinance is passed, because they can't afford, if the president calls them up for 3 months of duty, to take that pay cut. Now, obviously, this is some expense to the city, but it's about treating our servicemen who double as our officers equitably. And it's also about getting the best possible police officers to serve us. Their experience in the military reserve makes them even more valuable to us here, which is exactly why our chief is actively recruiting them. So I think that this is urgent, given that we have candidates who we want to hire now, who we're interviewing with, that will only consider the city if this ordinance is passed. It's also worth noting that this conforms to Ohio state law, and there are some interpretive issues with our union contract that would suggest we're obligated to pass this and give these benefits to a police officer in our various patrol and sergeants unions. So if we didn't adopt it and we were to hire an officer who is also a reservist and denied them this benefit, they would have a pretty strong argument that they were not being treated fairly under the union contract. And both for that reason and the fact I simply think it's good policy for our city to be supportive of our police department and our military and those who serve. I think that it's a good ordinance. I also think that it's urgent because we might lose great candidates if we don't act tonight.
Thank you. Motion is to waive the three reading rule. Mickey?
Fellows?
Yes.
Beebig?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Gizmo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
And Lenz?
Lenz. I'm sorry. Lenz.
Yes. Yes. The motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2019-67 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Pismo.
A motion to adopt ordinance number 2019-67.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Fiebig to adopt ordinance number 2019-67. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Fiebig, did you want to, since you spoke to Chief Collins about this, did you have anything else to add?
No, Madam President.
Vicki?
Fellows?
Yes.
Beebig?
Yes.
Hullum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-67 has been adopted. The next is ordinance 2019-68.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract for general liability insurance coverage for the city of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
That's the wishes of council.
Madam President, I think that the policy, basically the administration has already advised PEP that we are going to accept this. So really it's just council ratifying it. The policy start date would be October 17th of 2019, which is already in the past. So I think that it might be wise to waive the three reading rule. So I'll motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2019-68.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2019-68. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, for the reasons Councilwoman Pismo stated, I will support this motion, but I find it troubling that year after year we are given the insurance policy either slightly before or even slightly after the deadline, so that council is never in a position to compare alternative bids to ensure that the policy covers everything that's important to our residents, to make sure that they're well protected. As we've discussed tonight, some people sue the city from time to time. It's very important that we have active insurance coverage to protect the city. So I can't imagine not passing it tonight, but the fact that it was brought to council for a vote after the policy had expired is very troubling to me, and this is not the first time. Since I've been on council, it's happened almost every time, and I think this gets to Councilwoman Micah's point about communication. If the only communication you have with your council is suing the city and the residents, and you choose not to bring important legislation forward, it is very hard to work together. Now, I think that there's been an extraordinary effort made, and I'm grateful to everyone at this dais, both administration and council, who have made that effort. But this is just a highlight of the people who have grandstanded and talked about how they're standing up. Well, how about we stand up and do the boring stuff and get that right? Let's have the legislation on time so that there's no argument that the city is operating without an insurance policy. I'll vote for it, but this should have gone through three readings. We should have had an opportunity to compare it to other companies and policies. We should have ensured that this policy covers all the risks that the city is involved in. And the fact that we don't have time to do that is troubling. And no resident can be happy about that. Thank you.
Madam President, I did have a chance to review the documents that we were provided, and it is essentially the same policy that we've had for the last couple of years. So it really, if that was sufficient for the last couple of years, this is pretty much the same thing. And with the effect of not having any policy is so much worse than having one that might not be the completely optimal. While I agree we absolutely should have had more time, I think that if the choice is no policy or this one, I think that the choice is clear that we have to go with this one.
Madam President, one other comment to go along with the others is that I also reviewed it, and there was a small reduction in the premium, which is a good point to bring up, too. Thank you.
Motion to waive. Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Motion to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2019-68 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Motion to adopt ordinance 2019-68.
Second. I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt
Lenz
to adopt ordinance 2019-68. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Ordinance 2019-68 has been adopted. The next is ordinance number 2019-69.
An ordinance providing for temporary appropriations to meet the ordinary expenses of the City of Willoughby Hills, State of Ohio, for the period beginning January 1, 2020 through March 31, 2020, repealing all legislation inconsistent herewith.
And per the Finance Director's report this evening, this is appropriations for the first quarter of the year, and this will stay on first reading. The next is ordinance number 2019-70.
An ordinance confirming the appointment of Joseph Demert as Director of Law, defining the duties and responsibilities of the position of Law Director, and fixing the salary and compensation for said position, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
This will stay on first reading. The next is resolution number 2019-14.
A resolution supporting and approving grant participation in Operation Stone Garden, a joint law enforcement effort with the Lake County Sheriff's Office, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
I would move to waive the three reading rule on resolution number 2019-14.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to waive the three reading rule on resolution number 2019-14. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, as is the case with grant resolutions, we typically do waive and adopt unless there is a serious question as to whether the city can take the grant. This is a situation where the Sheriff's Office has already done the heavy lifting. Our police chief has thoroughly reviewed the contribution it would make to our department and is supportive of it. So I believe this is an instance where we should pass the resolution this evening to take advantage of the support that Sheriff Frank Liambruno and his predecessor, Sheriff Dan Dunlap, lined up for the City of Willoughby Hills.
Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
The three reading rule on resolution number 2019-14 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt resolution number 2019-14.
Second.
I have motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt resolution number 2019-14. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I would just add for residents who haven't had a chance to meet our new Lake County Sheriff yet, frankly, and Bruno, he did stop into Willoughby Hills at First Covenant Church to have a wonderful question and answer period. I know that he's open to giving tours of the jail, the dispatch center, which actually serves Willoughby Hills directly and has really improved services locally while saving the city a considerable amount of money. And he's just a wonderful individual. So I certainly encourage you to get a chance to meet the new sheriff if you haven't already seen him in his visit to Willoughby Hills, because he's a real ally to our city and law enforcement. And I can tell you that our police chief, Chris Collins, and he have a wonderful working relationship. So please take the time to meet the new sheriff.
Mickey?
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Resolution number 2019-14 has been adopted. The next is resolution number 2019-15.
Resolution recognizing October as National Bullying Prevention Month in the city of Willoughby Hills.
Madam President?
Councilwoman Pismo?
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2019-15.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2019-15. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I was made aware that October is National Bullying Prevention Month through my children's school, and there have been a number of high-profile bullying incidents that have been in the news and in surrounding communities, and I'm well aware, and I think we all are, that it goes on in every community. And one of the suggestions from the bullying prevention organizations is that communities stand up and say that they are in support of children and adolescents in combating bullying and raising awareness about this terrible problem and being good examples for our youth and our community. So that's why I support passing resolution 2019-15.
Vicki?
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
The three-reading rule on resolution number 2019-15 has been waived.
Madam President?
Councilwoman Pismo?
Motion to adopt resolution number 2019-15.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt resolution number 2019-15. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mickey?
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Hollum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Resolution number 2019-15 has been adopted. The next is new business. Is there any new business before council this evening? For the good of the order or community?
Madam President, I just want to say that the official numbers are not in from the craft fair or the Halloween party, but from what I understand, we had there was definitely an increase in the craft show. Which was nice. We always do a great event there, and people really enjoyed coming, and the vendors enjoyed it as well. So that was very successful. And then we were packed. We had a packed house for the Halloween party. We had people from neighboring cities, our own city, and I really want to applaud the Recreation Commission and the Willoughby Hills, everybody in the Willoughby Hills Service Department who helped out, and the Community Center, everyone who helped out, because they did a great job. They collected names and email addresses so that we can hopefully attach them to our Facebook page and make them more aware of events that are coming up and things that were in the past. I thought maybe we didn't quite do as much as we could have, and they listened and they did make those changes, and I expect us to have better and better events as we go. So thank you.
I have to agree with you. I thought it was amazing. That was amazing.
Lots of little kids.
Madam, good of the order, good of community.
Madam President, I'd like to repeat from last meeting that we have quite a few events coming up on a week from Saturday, November 2nd. We will have the Night at the Races fundraiser for the Nowacki Foundation at Lavera Party Center in Willoughby Hills the evening of Saturday, November 2nd. We have Fright Night at SNPJ, the Halloween party for the Slovenian National Benefit Society, right across the border in Kirtland. I know a lot of Willoughby Hills residents are members of SNPJ, and we'll be celebrating that night. And, of course, we have the North Coast Lions annual murder mystery dinner, which will be at the Croatian Hall over across the border in Eastlake. Many Willoughby Hills residents, including people in this room, I know, are members of North Coast Lions and will be there, so I think that'll be a wonderful night. The following day, Sunday, November 3rd, our Willoughby Hills VFW is hosting their annual cabbage roll dinner. So anyone who's ever been to one of the Women's Auxiliary's events knows what a great meal and what an affordable meal they cook up. I heartily recommend that you join from 3 to 5 o'clock. They love reservations in advance, but they do their best to accommodate. In fact, I've never seen them turn someone away, so I heartily recommend coming out to the VFW to support them. And I'd just like to close by congratulating one of our residents, Mike Tyler, on his mother's great honor this coming Friday, tomorrow. Mike Tyler is a former member of our Planning and Zoning Commission. He lives on Worrell Road. His mother, Professor Barb Tyler, is a retired legal writing professor from the Cleveland Marshall College of Law, but she's also an alum of Cleveland Marshall, and she will be inducted into our Cleveland Marshall Hall of Fame at our Hall of Fame ceremony tomorrow. So many congratulations to Professor Barb Tyler. I know her son Mike is so proud of her, and I look forward to congratulating them both in person tomorrow night. But I wanted it on the record because Professor Tyler's career has been extraordinary, and it's a wonderful honor for her to achieve.
Thank you. Madam President. Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to remind everyone that Steve Thompson, the Willoughby Eastlake School Superintendent, is across the street at the Community Center, as well as with other school officials. Hopefully there are people that were listening early on and migrated over to the Community Center to engage in conversation, ask questions about the levy. And so I just wanted to make sure about that. And also remind everybody on the 5th to vote. That's our right as free people in the United States, so we should vote.
Madam President?
Yes.
I just want to say that trick-or-treating is October 31st, a week from today, from 6 to 8 in Willoughby Hills. And whether you trick-or-treat in Willoughby Hills, which I know there's not a ton of them, but if you do, have a great time. And no matter where you trick-or-treat, be safe and have a wonderful Halloween. And I will also make a motion to adjourn.
Madam President, I just have one more thing. Thank you.
Councilman Hill.
That's fine.
I just want to remind everybody they have started going around and picking up leaves. So if you have yard waste that is acceptable for that, make sure you get it out to the curb. They're going around quite a lot now, so you know how it is around here. You never know when the snow is going to hit, so get them out there early and often. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Councilman Pismo, motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Pismo, second from Councilwoman Lenz to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on an adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Fellows.
Yes.
Hebig.
Yes.
Hullum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Meeting's adjourned at 8:09 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and safe travels home.